So good morning, everybody. It's just after 9 o'clock in London on a Sunday morning, and Lizzie and Justin, we are here for week 81 of this ongoing project, Turning Towards Life, which you're joining us for. So for those of you who haven't joined us before, welcome. You're joining us in the middle of an ongoing, unrehearsed, live as we can conversation that was born out of our work together and our commitment to Third Space and everything that comes with that. And you can find out about Third Space and our new lovely website, wearethirdspace.org. And you can also find out about this project at Turning Towards Life, where you will find all of the sources, including this fabulous piece, Lizzie, that you've written for this week, which I'm so excited about reading with you. It is an absolutely glorious Easter weekend here in London. The sun is out and everything is bright. And I have to say, I'm feeling very enlivened and glad for the sunshine and for the warmth. And pleased to be here with you, Lizzie, and with everyone.
I'm so pleased to be here as well. And I want to mention the podcast crew who might be listening on podcasts as well, and or if you're feeling like it would be easier to listen on through a podcast, we are on Spotify and iTunes. And so you can subscribe. And I've done that myself this week and know how it works now. And it's miraculous. You type in Turning Towards Life in the search section of iTunes or Spotify, and then it all comes up and you can select whichever one you want to listen to. So I am really glad about all of that happening, and also having subscribed now myself, I can really say it looks beautiful and it's easy, and I'm really glad that we are in those places as well. So thank you, Justin, for all of that. It's amazing.
Lizzie, before you dive in with the source, we also agreed we would say this week, I'm just remembering, that many of you who are listening and join us with this have decided to come at various times to learn with us and be with us. And one of the opportunities for that, I just want to tell you about briefly, 3rd and 4th of June in London is going to be the Foundations of Coaching program that we run. And I'm going to be leading that one. And you are so welcome to join us. So again, you can find out about that at wearethirdspace.org.
Well remembered.
Well remembered, hey?
So this week, we are going to be reading this there's something that I wrote called Two Paths. And just to say a bit of background about where this came from. So I've been recognizing in myself in general that it feels like kindness and reaching for something deeper is like a discipline. And I have undisciplinedness available to me all the time, and some discipline available to me all the time. And I've always had a kind of very historical, messed up relationship to the word discipline, but I'm understanding it in a far gentler way these days, which is in some way to be like a disciple to something, to be dedicated to something. And I recognize that I am dedicated to finding a place that's more loving than my fearful tiny thoughts that get me down a rabbit hole of panic and anxiety and worry about things. So I've just been seeing really clearly in the last week or so that at any given moment I have these two paths available to me. And I've also been recognizing it in other people too. And so this began and me just writing some things down about my own inner fearful path following, and then wondering about other people's lives and the stories that I am in amongst with others, and feeling into the fearful thoughts that they're having, and realizing that I can apply my discipline to those things as well. Like if I had the chance to say something kind, maybe this is the conversation I'd have with them, the line underneath, the fearful line. So this, for anybody listening who can't see the source, this is a funny thing actually to read without it being seen, I'm realizing now, but it's the first line of each paragraph, if you like, which is all, they're all very, very short, is a word from the fearful path. And the second line is a word from the more loving, kind path. And so as we read it, you'll hear it switches between like polarities, basically, or paths as I'm seeing them. And so this is the conversation that I wanted to be in today, Justin. It's like, what are we practicing? Like, what are we able to notice about when we're in the slippery slope of feeling worried about everything, and how that kind of tumbles into all these other things? And how can we bring ourselves more gently to our lives, and with discipline and dedication, remember that there is another way than these kind of concepts we have about ourselves, these kind of thoughts we have, these kind of feelings we have. So I guess we should just read and see how this goes. I don't know how it's going to be, because as I said, it's weird if it hasn't been seen as well as read, but it is what it is. So let's go. It
seems to me it's a reminder, again, if you're listening, that you can always circle back, and at turning towards life, you will always find these sources. So you could come back and hear us read it with the text in front of you at some point, even if you're out on a walk or on a run or in the garden or on the train, wherever you're encountering this or watching us live or on YouTube.
Yeah.
Okay.
Justin, shall I read first and then you read?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is called Two Paths. Pinched, spacious, fearful, faithful, perfect, enough. It's all up to me. We're in it together. No one gets me. Let's talk. What if the worst happens? What's happening now? I failed. I'm learning. I'm useless. I feel my inherent goodness. Everything is messed up. One small thing. I'm powerless. If not me, then who? It might be disastrous. One step at a time. Scattered, I'm all over the place. Breath, here I am. I'm lost. The ground holds me. I can't stop crying. What's wrong with me? Hello, emotion. Welcome. I'm filled with doubt. It's okay to ask questions. I've gone backwards. A revisit is a beautiful thing. They hurt me. My center grows stronger. There's not enough. I am overflowing with life. It's all going round in my head. My body and breath offers peace. I'm numb and procrastinating. Something's calling for my attention. I'm a terrible person. Regret has goodness woven in. I don't have what I need. Little by little, I take action and build my life. I'm an emotional wreck. Thank you, feelings. I accept you, and I thank you. I don't want to stop. It's safe to slow down. I'm overwhelmed. It's all too much. One thing at a time. Simple. What's going to happen? This moment is all we can affect. It's all meaningless. A chance to feel real. I'm so angry. There's gold in the dark, hard rock. I'm ashamed. Our brokenness is our gift. I hate not knowing. Our world is benevolent. I'm terrible at this. Appreciate what I can do. I want it all to be okay. What I am is what I need.
So I'm going to read part of this. And Lizzie, you're the author of this. So I'm either asking your permission or apologizing now before I do this for the desecration of your writing that I'm going to, the way I'm going to do this for the benefit of people who can't see the text.
Yeah.
You'll see. Carry so I'm on. Just going to pick a few.
Yeah.
Inched or spacious. No one gets me, or let's talk. Everything is messed up, or one small thing. Scattered, I'm all over the place, or breath, here I am. I'm lost, or the ground holds me. I'm numb and procrastinating, or something is calling for my attention. I'm a terrible person, or regret has goodness woven in. I'm overwhelmed, it's too much, or one thing at a time, simple. It's all meaningless, or a chance to feel real. I'm so angry, or there's gold in the dark, hard rock. I'm ashamed, or our brokenness is our gift. I hate not knowing, or our world is benevolent. I'm terrible at this, or I appreciate what I can do. I want it all to be okay, or what I am is what I need.
That's a really lovely way of reading it. So it's quite something to encounter the, like on a page, quite straightforwardly. This, and I think that's why I was wanted to write it down, because I feel like this is a continual hourly choice. And a day filled with the or sections, the less harsh, less judgmental statements, is a very different day. And I just feel grateful that I know that there's a choice. And sometimes I don't manage to choose, and sometimes I do. And thank goodness there's options.
That's such a lovely way of saying it. There's, you know, in one way, this is so simple. What I'm about to say, it's not so simple, but in one way it's so simple, which is in every moment there's a choice. And the choice that you're laying out very clearly for us, it's really something to read it, actually, to feel what happens in my own body as I read each of these pairs and feel how differently they orient me to the world. So in one way, it's very simple that at every moment there's a choice, which is what this whole Turning Towards Life project is founded on, is you've expressed it so beautifully. Do we turn towards or away? Is one way of looking. So it's conceptually very simple, but it's also revolutionary that there really are choices about how we come at the very same circumstances in which we find ourselves. And it seems, at least it seems to me, I'm so grateful for this and very moved by reading it this morning, because it also, it would be one thing, I think, Lizzie, if we didn't forget if we didn't get so convinced by the own momentum of our ways of interpreting and ways of being in the world that we've built up over years and years and have come to us from our families and our ancestors and our culture, you know, the whole great momentum in which we live and the sort of familiarity with our own stories. If we didn't have that, this would be easy and simple. You'd say, well, there's some choices, and every moment I'll just choose the one that more enables me to be present and resourceful and kind and loving and available and creative and, you know, all the virtues that we could think of. But it's not like that. And that's the sweetness and the gift of these words that I'm appreciating, is that we need ways of remembering and practices. We need words for remembering and music for remembering and people who help us remember and practices so we can feel the possibilities. And in those times where we've found ourselves far away from the life-giving side of these and have just taken it for granted that that's the way that it is, that there's nothing to hold me and I'm so afraid and I'm so broken and I'm on my own, that we can find our way back. And so this, of course, this piece is one of those reminders, and this conversation is one of those reminders, quite deliberately.
Mm-hmm. And I think you've really reminded me as well in some places of where this comes from. Because in the, let's call them the kinder lines, in the kinder lines, I also have a kind of this creeping kind of cynical voice that comes from, I think, like our culture and the things and people that I've learned from, that kind of like, oh, this is just wishy-washy, that's not going to get you anywhere. It's, you know, there's this kind of judgment on kindness, on self-forgiveness, on self-respect. And I feel like the fearful path is so kind of validated just by normal practices in life and normal ways of talking about things. Basically, giving ourselves a hard time is really kind of celebrated somehow. Mm. Like being harsh with ourselves has got a kind of accolade to it. And like, I find that really, sometimes it really takes me. You know, when someone plants the kind of seed of fear about something I'm feeling strongly about, so easy for me to go, whoop, okay, then fine, you know, I'm going down that path now. And then I come back to myself and I think, well, what the hell was I doing? How did I just get sucked down someone else's fearful path when I was just really confident about something or feeling really good about something? And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, I'm in a different place now. And then thankfully I have resources that bring me back, like you're saying. I can read something and I go, oh, here I am again. Like, that feels sane. That doesn't feel self-annihilating or ruining of my well-being. I feel kind of back again to something much more solid and much less, much less constricted. You know, I think it's like we are drawn to this path that's really slippery of hanging on to things and trying to shut things down and make things okay somehow. And it doesn't present a life that for me has hope in it or expansion in it or possibility in it. It presents a life that's like, that's pinched, that's much smaller, and makes my body feel like, whoa, I don't know if I can do that life. But I feel like I can do a life of faith, and I can do a life of gentleness, and I can do a life of kindness, and I can do a life of being easy on myself and others. Like, that feels possible to me. But when it all has to be tied up and all has to be all right and all has to be perfect, I'm like, I can't I can't do that one, and I feel very powerless in it. So I'm just finding like these more and more distinctions in the two paths, and it just is amazing to me how quickly I can be sucked into something very quite frightening.
Yeah. Well, I think that's one of the reasons why this is only deceptively simple, but you're really in your writing and in your speaking really deep into something that's very complex and pernicious. So one part that's striking me as you're speaking is that we don't really have the concept of following up, walking a path in our wider culture. So somehow or other, I think we've ended up in a much more of a culture of impulsive culture. We're expected to, the sort of frame of our wider culture has for a long time being been the most important thing is to get what you want, and you can get it now. But the cost of getting it now is you have to be super hard on yourself. You have to abandon yourself. You have to climb the ladder, all of those kind of things. And one of the things that's not present in that interpretation of life that most of us live in is even the idea of a path. Actually, I'm walking a path this way, and there are choices on the path, and how I walk step by step will shape me and shape my engagement with life over time. So that part of it is itself mostly invisible, which makes it way, way harder, even though we are always walking a path. And you so often use this word, wonderful word, faith, which has been so poisoned, I think, in our culture, because it can sound like some kind of, people get it muddled up with some kind of childish, that's the wrong way, simplistic naivety in the world. But faith isn't, this kind of faith is not naive at all. It's a hopeful commitment and intention to something which we can cultivate over time, that there are different ways of, that there are kinder, deeper, truer, more present, all kinds of words I could use, their ways of living in the world. So the path part is invisible. So I really appreciate this, that actually to be human is to walk a path. And we can make choices about the path that we walk. And the choices aren't just the choices to do with where should I live and who should I live with and what kind of work should I do and all of those kind of things. The ones that you're drawing attention to here are the ones that are not dependent upon circumstance. They're the path of how I respond to, how I choose to make sense of and to be in relationship to whatever's arising inside me and around me. And the other thing that really struck me that I think makes this so difficult for so many of us is that we do, at least as far as I can see, we do live in a wider culture which, without ever explicitly saying it, teaches us again and again and again that there's something really, really wrong with us. And that we ought to, that one day there won't be something wrong with us, but the way for there not to be something wrong is to climb to the top of the heap, you know, is to have X amount of status or X amount of money, or, and then we'll look like the always young, always beautiful, always shiny people that we see in all of the images that are around us, which show us how we're meant to be. And I think it's very, very hard in a culture that's like that for us to remember and be in contact with the second part of every one of your pairs, because we're being shown, I mean, that's why it seems to me, I really share with you this sense of, I can, you know, this thing that you said about feeling somehow in contact with something that is kind and possibility filled and connected with the world, and then somebody will say something like, well, that's not very practical, is it? Or how are you gonna, or, you know, that kind of thing, and gone and thrown into the shame pot. Because I think it's because that for many of us is actually the sea that we swim in all the time, that we're not only swimming in it, we're also just seeing this for the first time in this, Lizzie, we're also making it by continuing to swim in it. So it's not just something that's given to us, it's something that we participate in until we choose the other side.
Yeah. And And if we haven't got community in the other side, as you're saying, as in we haven't cultivated a support network for the path that we feel most committed to, it's kind of impossible to maintain the actual stepping. You know, I feel that so strongly. Like, I'll go out into the world and somebody will say something that's kind of smashes things to pieces, like you said. And then I'll come home again and I'll pick up a book by someone who I respect, or I'll listen to something like this, but other people, or even us. I sometimes listen to us and I think, thank God we said that. You know, I can hear us. It was us. We said that. I can find myself again in a less fearful place. But if I wasn't so well resourced, it would be so easy just to have these things as a kind of fantastical experience. And so I'm so glad that we've got the things we've got, Justin, in terms of a kind of bank of conversations that, I mean, I get it that people listen to this, and I know that you go back and listen to us as well. But I sometimes listen and I think, thank goodness, like, I need that today. Like, I'll read something that I've written or someone else has written, and I think, my goodness, like, thank goodness for those moments of connection that I can find again. Because it's so easy just to fly down the path of, for me, smithereens. You know, it really does, things come crashing down.
Yeah.
And it's so compelling and so culturally accepted what those people say. And it's really, and also I know it's part of me. If it wasn't part of me, it wouldn't resonate with me, but that's why it feels like a discipline to me, because what's normal, what's culturally accepted, isn't necessarily what's best for me.
Oh, you know,
it doesn't seem like it is, like, when I really get close to myself. And when I say the word faith as well, the more and more I let go of control, basically, all there is faith. Like, I can't seem to live happily when I'm trying to control everything. When I'm trying to have things turn out the way that I want them, and for people to be who I want them to be, and it literally doesn't work out very well at all for me, and for other people. And so I have to, like, my faith isn't a choice in a way. It's like, it's in the undoing of my structures as a human being, there is a ground that isn't control. And that ground for me right now, and who knows what it might turn into, but it's a faith in goodness. It's a faith in unfolding. It's a faith in you. It's a faith in me. It's a faith in life itself. It's a faith in connection. It's a faith in relationship, a faith in the benevolence of life, in a faith in the fact that a daffodil turns towards the sun because that's how it receives most nutrients. It feels like that's the kind of faith I'm talking about, rather than closing my eyes and clenching my fists and pretending everything's okay.
Yes. But that, I don't know why this aspect of it is really catching me. I suppose I've been traveling on the tube in London quite a lot recently, and I've been noticing all the advertising that there is along, you know, up above where people sit on the tube. And there's a whole, right now, there's in London at least, there's this whole loads of adverts for vitamin supplements. There's a particular brand of vitamin supplements, and the people on it are always in their 20s, and they're always beautiful, and they're always smiling, and they're always very nicely dressed, and
they always have good teeth.
They have great teeth. Sitting on this one where there's this guy sitting on this lovely convertible car, and he's looking out into the distance. And in one way it looks very innocuous, but it's incredibly pernicious, because the message that's in it, which I think is the one that causes us so much trouble, is if you do this, whatever this is, and in that case it's biovitamins, you will have the life that's like this, which immediately reinforces for us the sense that I can be in control of all of this. And if I were an okay kind of person, I would be in control of all of this and my life would be that way. And then we're in this faithless, actually, it's a different kind of faith in our incredible power that we can never quite find, that always leaves us falling short. And so I'm really with you that what undergirds the second part of every one of your pairs is a softening into participation in life. I can participate in life. I can be here. I'm part of this. But let me let go of the idea that I'm in charge of it. And if I'm not in charge of it, not just the opposite of, well, I'm in charge of it and then it would be okay. And if I'm not in charge of it, something terrible is happening. But I'm in a life that's way, way, way bigger than me. And maybe, as I say it, maybe that's the thing that we most have lost sight of in a culture that has taught us to be so incredibly individualistic, that makes us the center of things all the time. The world's way bigger than me. I can't be in charge. I'm not a God. I can't be in charge of this. But what I can do is keep on showing up and turning myself towards, rather than away from life, towards possibility and towards kindness and towards the goodness of people and of life itself.
Yes.
Towards beauty and towards, whilst knowing that all the alternatives are always present. That's the discipline, just to link back, because I was remembering how touched I was when you said this. So that's what discipline is keeping on turning towards a path that can actually meet life in a life-giving way as it unfolds, which is the one that we forget. Maybe it's just human to forget, but maybe we also live in a time where we have in so many ways forgotten it. And that's why we need conversations like this, and why we need writing like this, and why we need people around us to remind us.
Yeah. And it's really lovely to have the conversation, Justin. I'm so grateful to kind of unpick it and talk about it. You know, I think writing things is such a kind of, well, I just sat down at the table and wrote some things and with a pen and paper on my own, and then to be able to speak about it and to be able to also, for me, like, include so many people in it, in the writing of it. So to be including the themes that I know other people are suffering with, and of course I can find them in myself, but just knowing that there are others included in this, in intention of this, is a really lovely feeling for me. And there's also the thing of when you write something, you think, like, who knows whether this is going to be helpful or relevant or bonkers or whatever. So it's another act of faith, really, to write something and then have it be in part of this. So thank you. So I can see our time, and I realise that we're at the end of it right now. So I want to just say thank you, Justin, to you for being able to be in this conversation with me. And thank you to us for doing this thing. And thank you to anybody on Facebook now or on the podcasts. Thank you for listening to us and being with us. And as Justin mentioned at the beginning, thirdspace.org is a very beautiful website that we've just had amazingly rejigged and relaunched by some very lovely people who've worked with us. And it's an incredible resource and a very beautiful space. So I invite you to take a look there. And we will see you next week at 9 o'clock if you're listening live, or you'll see another podcast episode pop up in your feed, in your podcast feed, next week.
Okay.
Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.